welcome everyone excitedly to this Sunday worship in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray that the blessings of the Lord will abide and multiply in every life, every family, everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you today. We bless your name for bringing us to such a worship service. And we pray, Lord, the blessing of worship will be upon everyone. That you touch every life, that you transform every life with the word that comes to everyone in Jesus' name. Those who are here, those who are online, all those who are worshiping with us, bless everyone without exception. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another good blessed amen. Amen. You can sit down. Thank you very much. Today we're looking at something very important, very essential for everyone. Actually, when you look at the Word of God, you find some gracious, wonderful commandments. And we're looking at three of them today. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. To save you. You find one word there, fight. That God was going with the children of Israel and was to fight with them. When you use the word fight, you can fight with. You are supporting so that you fight against their enemy. And the purpose is clear: to save you, to rescue you, to lift you up, to preserve you. The word there, fight. As we look at all the other verses, why don't you look at verse 5? It says in verse 5, it says, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that has built a new house and he has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. Now you'll find this talking about a national battle. If it's a personal battle, you build a house, and then there's a personal battle, and then you retreat. The person is fighting with you will take the house. When you read the Bible, please understand what you read. And when he talks about fighting here, he's actually talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel going to all those Hittites and Hivites and the Canaanites. And the Lord had given Abraham and Isaac and Jacob the land of Canaan. Now, they were to possess what the land, what land? The Lord had given to Israel as a nation. And they were to fight against these seven nations that God had given unto them for a possession. And so the command is, go fight. But you're going to discover in the New Testament that these conditions here, you build a house and you're afraid if you go, somebody might take the house, so stay back at home. That provision was not given in the New Testament. Why? The New Testament believers were not fighting against any nation, against any Canaanite, against any Hivite, against any Jebusite. The people of the New Testament were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The fight in the New Testament is very different. We'll get to that. I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And then you fight the good fight of faith. You're not fighting against any Gentile nation. You're not fighting against even your own nation. Now, look at chapter 2 of Deuteronomy. I'm reading from verse chapter 2. We're looking at verse 4. It tells us here, it says, "And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourself." And it says, therefore, look at verse 5. In verse 5, it says, "Meddle not with them, Israel. I'm sending you forth. You're going to the land of Canaan. You will pass through the land of Edom, this Mount Seir. I've given that to the children of Esau. Do not meddle with them. Don't fight them. Don't take their land." You see, we need to understand that the Lord gave this to Esau, that to Lot, and that to Ammon and Moab, the children of Lot. And God said, "Fight them not." For the Canaanites, I gave them the land. They polluted the land. They brought in idolatry, and they brought in the abominations that I hate. Therefore, I am getting them out of the land. God could have done that without Israel. In fact, he said, the land will spew them out. He said, "I will send on it, and those bees will drive them away." I could have done that all by myself. But for you to understand the value of the land I'm giving unto you, go fight. But this, don't fight. So we need to understand when to fight, what to fight, and when not to fight, and what not to fight. We're looking at chapter 2 later, but we're looking at chapter 20 again, verse 3. In chapter 20, verse 3, it says, "And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemies." Understand, those people were the enemies of God. And because they were the enemies of God, they were the enemies of Israel. If anyone is not the enemy of God, is not an enemy of Israel. Anyone who is not an enemy of the God of Abraham, of the God of Isaac, of the God of Jacob, will not be an enemy of Israel. Let's understand then when it says, against your enemies. Against my enemies, God says, fighting against me, fighting against my word, fighting against my will, thereby they become your enemies. Here, approach this day unto the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. He spoke to all the children of Israel. Fear not. You've just built a house. Fear not. You've planted a vineyard. Fear not. You've married a wife. Fear not. He spoke to all of Israel. Oh, Israel, you're approaching this day unto your enemies. Be not afraid. Fear not. But, you know, the children of Israel in the Old Testament, God says, this is what to do. And then God stands back and he says, old generation, old covenant, fear not, but if you will not have faith in me and you are afraid. He gave the leeway for those who will not have the faith in him and they'll be afraid. In the New Testament, that concession is not given. Jesus said, my friends, fear not what man can do. And Jesus did not put a condition. Suppose you are afraid, this is what you do. If you happen to be afraid, this is what you do. In case you will not accept my word, fear not, and you are afraid, this is the way to go. You don't find that in the New Testament. The hardness of heart in the Old Testament gave them an alternative. This is the perfect, absolute will of God. But should in case your hardness of heart will hinder you from taking my absolute word, and you are afraid, all right, for your covenant, I permit you to stay back at home and do this. New Testament, fear not. Full stop. No leeway and no concession. When you are afraid, if you are afraid, why did you fear, O ye of little faith? That's why we're looking thoroughly today on the message, fight, fight not, fear not. That's the message today, fight, fight not, fear not. Fight, that's a command. Fear not, that's the, fight not, that's the caution. And fear not, that is the courage, the boldness. Fight, we have number one. Look at number one there. Number one is comprehension of the faithful God-like fight. That God-like is very important. What God fights, we fight. What he doesn't fight, we don't fight. It's a God-like fight. Number two is the caution against fatal godless fight. The caution against fatal godless fight. Moses, tell them, when you get to the shore, the border of the land of Seir, tell all the soldiers to put their swords and their guns away. Fight not the land I've given to Esau. Moses, tell them, when you get to the land of Moab and the land of Ammon, which I've given to the children of Lot, tell them, fight not. If they did, that will be a fatal, godless fight. Caution against fatal, godless fight. Number three, God bless you. Courage for the fruitful, good fight. There is a fruitful fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And when you come to that, this is fruitful. And this is profitable. And this is commanded from heaven. Fight the good fight of faith. You need courage to do that. Where God says, come on, go ahead and fight against idolatry, and fight against abomination, and fight against the necromancy of those Gentile nations, and fight against the powers of darkness. You cannot fail. They cannot defeat you. Be of good courage. Fear not. Be not dismayed. And go ahead. Fight with courage the good fight of faith. Let's come to number one. Number one is the comprehension of the faithful God-like fight. He tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, in verse 1, it says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, understand, these were the enemies of God to start with, and the land was going to spill them out, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Israel, you know what? He brought you out of Egypt that he might bring you in to the promised land. Already, the victory is sure. All those people, I left them there now. Why? I want them to develop the land for you. Why? I want them to build all those skyscrapers, everything they are building. I want them to finish all the building for you so that when you get to the land of Canaan, you get there, you reside there, you dwell there. I want them to plant all the crops for you. I want them to do all that. That's why they're still there. Otherwise, I could have wiped them out. And so I brought you out. I didn't mean you'll stay in the wilderness. I mean that you'll go through the wilderness and get to the promise. Look at verse 4 again. In verse 4 it says, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. He's gone before you. He has searched the land. He has surveyed the land. He has given the territory already to Abraham. And that has been passed unto Isaac. He has already surveyed the land. He has gone before you. Now that you are ready, as the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to take the land, the Lord is going with you. Then it says to fight for you. To fight for you against your enemies. To save you. To save you, to preserve you. It tells us in Exodus chapter 14, reading from verse 24. Exodus chapter 14, verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians. These were the Egyptians with Pharaoh and his chariot pursuing after the people of Israel. He had looked at them through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for, look at this, look at it very well, for, tell me, they will fight for you. Nobody will take what God has promised you. What God had given unto you. You can go to bed at night and close your eyes and sleep, because all your possession will belong to you. And so those Egyptians, they themselves said, the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. That's the kind of fight. When God can fight for you and fight with you and fight through you, you can fight. But if God says, you're on your own, I didn't send you to fight that person, I didn't send you to fight for that thing, you are on your own. And Satan is with the enemy. Satan is with the one you are fighting. And if Satan fights against you and God says you are on your own, I didn't send you there, you are lost already. For the children of Israel, the Lord itemized for them and told them, this is the fight to fight. And then even the enemies confess that the Lord fights against the children of Israel. Look at Joshua chapter 10. In Joshua chapter 10, we're looking at verse 14. In verse 14 it says, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord, tell me, the Lord, tell me out aloud, fought for Israel. Now, when you are fighting the battle of the Lord has sent you there. And he says, fight, a command. Fight, it is imperative. Fight. This is not what you thought of. This is your calling. This is your ministry. And this is the command of the Lord for you. Fight. Then, if the sun is setting, you can look up and say, sun, stay there. Moon, stay there. And heaven will affirm your word. You need a better amen than that. But you know, my brother, my sister, if Joshua had gone to fight a battle that God did not know anything about, that God did not instruct him to fight, and was fighting and fighting, and the sun was setting, it was going to be dark, and Joshua looked up and said, son, stay right there. Now, Joshua did not have the power to stop the sun or to stop the rotation of the earth around the sun or to stop any of the planets from rotating in its orbit. That can only be done by God, who created the whole universe. The Lord hearkened unto him because God himself was involved in the fight, for God fought for Israel, and so he answered his prayer. The lesson we're learning is, choose your battle scripturally. Don't fight where God says, don't fight. And when it says fight, you can bring all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your knowledge, everything you have, because here is the commandment of the Lord. He said, fight. Look at verse 15 there. In verse 15, it tells us, and Joshua returned, and all Israel with him unto the camp Gilgal. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, it says, and Joshua said unto them, fear not. And the Lord is telling the church, fear not. And the Lord is telling who now? He's telling you, your heart palpitating. Those people have come again. God didn't send them to defeat you. He sent them for you to lick them up. Those that you are not even thinking of fighting, and they rise up and they fight you, you are not to be afraid. They are there for you to conquer. And you will conquer every enemy of God in Jesus' name. And so it says, so, well, be not dismayed, be strong and of a good courage, for this thus shall the Lord do. Who is doing it? I said, who is doing it? They shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight, because the Lord sent you to fight them. Now, Why were they doing the fighting? So that they will possess their possession. The children of Jacob, the children of Israel, will possess their possession. Before me today is the Israel of God. I said, before me today is the Israel of God. You will go forth. You will possess your possession in Jesus' name. Now, look at Psalm 2. We're looking at verse 8. Psalm 2, we're reading verse 8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy, tell me, thy possession. That word was spoken to Christ. And Christ has gone to heaven, and Christ is going to be King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to possess as an inheritance everything, everyone the Father had given him. That's why he has passed it on to us now. And he has said, go into all the world, don't kill them, save them. Don't crush them, convert them, and bring them as the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because now all the ends of the world will become the possession of the Lord. And you are part of that. Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 4. In Acts chapter 8, looking at verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went where? Everywhere. Where you go, you will succeed. You will have converts. You'll bring converts and disciples unto the Lord in Jesus' name. They went everywhere preaching the word. Ah, that's the instrument. That's the tool. That's the weapon which we fight today. We fight with the word of prayer, the word of authority, the word of anointing, the word of preaching. That is how souls are conquered. The word, anointed word, like sharp arrows going into the hearts of people. That's how hearts are converted. And if you remember chapter 2 of Acts, the Holy Ghost came, and each one of them, they had tongues like as of fire upon them. And then they began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave utterance. There was no handbill, there was no billboard, there was no radio announcement. The voice from heaven, the fire from heaven, the noise of these various languages on lunch brought the people. And when they got there, this one heard his language, this one heard his tongue, and that made them to begin to wonder. Some people said they were drunk. Other people said, this could not be drunk. How could a drunken man be speaking a clear language in the which we were born? And then Peter rose up among the 11, and he said, it wasn't a prepared outline. It was the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. That is the weapon for battle today. The word, the word. And then he began to speak to them, and they were preached in their hearts, not by sword, but by the word. That is the instrument and the weapon today. And then they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, repent, turn around, and get away from all your rebellion against the Master Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Repent and be baptized in water. They accepted that, and we're told that with many other words, that's the sword, that the weapon, that the instrument is not the sword of, you know, the physical one. It is not the arrow, the natural one. It is not the gun, the natural one. It says, with many other words did he testify unto them, save yourselves from this untoward, sinful, traditional, religious generation. And then it says, and with that word, about 3,000 gladly received his word, and they were baptized. And he continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. The tool that did that was the word. And everyone, every believer, as we take that word in our hand, the word of his grace, the word of his power, the word of salvation. Everywhere we go, we're preaching the word, and people are being convicted, and people are being converted, and people are being committed, and they are consecrating unto the Lord. That is what the Lord has called us to do today. Look at Acts chapter 1, reading there from verse 8. Acts chapter 1, we're reading from verse 8. It says, but he shall receive power. That is the weapon today. Those who are prayerless, they cannot pray. Those who are prayerless, they're clueless. They don't have any clue as to how we fight the battle of the Lord today. They cannot pray. They cannot stand on the promises. They cannot claim the provision that Calvary has provided. And they think they're going to fight. That's a useless fight. It's a fight that will not profit anyone. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. You see how they did it in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Uttermost part of the earth. Why is that? That's here. I said that's here. Did Peter know the name Nigeria? No, he didn't know the name Nigeria. What he knew was uttermost part of the earth. Did he know about all these other countries in Africa? No, he didn't know that. All he knew is uttermost part of the earth, and the power, the sword, the weapon that wins the battle and convicts men and converts men and consecrates men and lands them in the kingdom of God is the word of his power. And that's what the Lord is doing today. And that's the calling we have today. And I pray we'll fulfill the calling we have in Jesus' name. And so, through the preaching of the word, through the evangelization of the world, we're fighting the fight that we should fight so that we can possess the land. We can possess the people. We can possess the nations for the Lord. And the Lord will take all those converts, all those disciples, and they become his inheritance, and they become his possession. And let's look at this is a familiar verse of scripture, Jude chapter 1. We're looking at verse 3. Jude chapter 1, we're looking at verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence or right unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that ye and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend that the fight now. That the contention now. That is our duty, our responsibility, our calling. He says, this is what we're to do, earnestly contend for the faith. Fight to preserve the faith. the faith for salvation. Fight to preserve that. Remember, you are not fighting with the sword. You are not fighting with the gun. You are not fighting with psychology, psychological weapon. And you are not fighting by the standards of the world. It's the word. It's the preaching. It's the power in the preaching. It is the penetration of the world with the word. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. When it says contend, you contend for. How do you do that? Number one, you comprehend the faith, the salvation, the sanctification, the power in the Holy Ghost, the provision of the nature, divine nature that we ought to have, and the total commitment we have unto Christ. You must comprehend that first. And after the comprehension, you comprehend you are contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Then you consecrate. When you consecrate your life to the faith once delivered unto the saints, others will see your example. Others will see your standing. And because you comply to the faith once delivered to the saints, they know that this person is for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life which I now live, I live. I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And he was, gave himself for me. They know that this woman, this man is contending for the faith because you comprehend the faith. You consecrate to that faith. You comply with that faith. Then you conserve, you keep that faith. You might be a believer for 10 years, for 20 years. That same faith, the faith that saves, the faith that sanctifies, the faith that fills us with the Holy Ghost, the faith that gives us the courage to live for Christ in the office, in the family, anywhere, without fear of favor and without shrinking or shirking your duty. You are conserving that faith. You keep that faith. That means you are contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. You must be asking yourself, do I comprehend the faith? Am I consecrated to that faith? Am I complying to the faith? Am I conserving, keeping the faith? Now, if you're going to contend for something, you must contend against anything that comes against that faith. Here, we're the church of the living God, the church of Christ. And if we're going to keep the faith, if we're going to conserve the faith, we must fight, contend against all compromisers anywhere, everywhere, here at the center and there within the circle of deeper life. We contend against all compromisers, whatever their name, whatever their stature, whatever their position. To contend for the faith, we have to contend against the compromisers. Two, we have to contend against the corruptors, the people who will come and corrupt the faith. It's like no holiness anymore, no sanctification anymore. And there is no, when did we see somebody that was baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another tongue? All that is dying down. There's some, number one, corruptors. Number one, we're contending against the compromisers. We're contending, number two, against the corrupters. Number three, we're contending against the counterfeits. The people who are counterfeits, they don't have genuine salvation. You can tell by their manner of life. You can tell by their negative influence. They're counterfeits. And because they're counterfeits, they want all the genuine to become counterfeits like them. And we say, no, we fight against that. We fight against the castaway. The castaway. Paul the Apostle said, I bring my body under so that after preaching the faith, I do not become a castaway. There are some people, they indulge it. They have cast themselves away to indulgence, to the world, to the flesh, and to all these abomination and worldliness is oozing out of them. They look, their attitude, and their action. They have cast themselves away to the world, and we fight, we contend against the compromisers. We fight against the corrupters. We fight against also all the counterfeits. We fight against all the castaway. That is how, with our heart, without fear, without trembling, and without batting an eye, without looking down like cowards, we contend earnestly for the faith was delivered unto the saints. Number one is the comprehension to fight, and we are fighting to preserve, to possess, to preserve their possession. Number two now is the caution. Caution against fatal, godless fight. Did you know that the children of Israel had caution? Many people did not know that. Deuteronomy chapter 2, we're reading from verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 4. And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coasts of your brethren, the children of Esau. God called them brethren. Fight against the enemy. Don't fight against Esau and his family and his children and his descendants. Why? They are not your enemies. They are your brethren, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves. Therefore, look at verse 5. In verse 5, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. Israel, don't fight there. Don't contend with them. Don't meddle with them, because I will not support you. I will not give of their land unto you. I've given that to Esau. Was Esau spiritual? Leave that to me. Does Esau have covenant with you? Leave that to me. I have given them. They have the blood of Jacob. Jacob had the blood of Isaac. Isaac had the blood of Abraham. And because of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, now Esau sharing part of their blood. I have given Esau and his descendants that land. Don't meddle with them. And then he tells us that because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Hey, look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, and the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them. Number one, the children, the descendants of Esau, don't meddle with them. Number two, the Moabites, contend not against them. And then it says, contend not against them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession. Know the territory. Know your territory. Know your area. And limit your fight to the area God has earmarked for you. Because I have given unto the children of Lot for a possession. For a possession. So Israel, don't go that way. And don't go this way. You don't go to the Moabites. And you don't go to the Seir, Mount Seir, the children of Esau. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it says, and when thou comest near over against the children of Amnon. Number three now. Seir, number one. Moab, number two. Amnon, number three. Distress them not. Don't give them stress. Don't give them depression. Don't give them anxiety. Distress them not. And then it goes on to say, and no meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Amnon any possession, because I, God Almighty, I have given each unto the children of Lot for a possession. Moab and Amnon were children of Lot, and God gave them those possessions. Here we learn, there's a place they are to fight. There were nations they were to fight. There are nations they were not to fight. Look at what happened after that. After God had said, Israel, don't fight Seir. Israel, don't fight Moab. Israel, don't fight Amnon. Look at Numbers chapter 22. We're reading from verse 4. Numbers chapter 22 verse 4. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that around about us. Moab seeing the children of Israel will lick up all that around about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. Then it goes on to say, and Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, he sent messengers that therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, and then he said, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt, the children of Israel. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, come now. Don't stay back. Come now. Don't delay. Come now. Come in a hurry. Therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that I watch that I know. That means I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. God said, Israel, don't fight against Moab. Moab was ignorant of the protection of their land, ignorant of the protection by the Lord, ignorant of the caution and the warning that God had given Israel. And he has said, Israel, don't touch that land. Don't fight against them. Moab now started the fight. That's how eventually Balaam came and tried to curse the people. But the people who were very careful not to fight them, not to curse them, not to take any part of their land. And Israel had said, that belongs to them, let them have it. And these same people were the people that rose up and were going to fight against Israel. We need to learn a lot from that. God has brought us together as a church, and we're all to unite together, unite our hands, our hearts, our heads, unite our resources, fight against Satan, fight against the world, fight against the devil. We're not to fight against ourselves. You have your place. We leave that place for you. God has given you that ministry, that opportunity. Stay by that and do what you need to do. Don't fight against the Israel, the people of God. He has warned us not to fight you, not to fight your section, not to fight your responsibility, but to leave you where you are. If you now start a fight, you'll be like the Moabites, like Balak, that traced up a fight where there should have been no fight. You will not fight. I will not fight. I'm saying that for myself. And the Lord will bless the work of your hand. I will not fight your ministry. I will not fight your assignment. I will not fight your calling. And you too, you'll not fight my ministry. You'll not fight my calling. We're working together. That's how God will work with us. We're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're reading from verse 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 10. And now, behold, the children of Amnon, you remember them? And Moab, you remember them? And Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. The three of them, Seir, Moab, Ammon. Ammon, Moab, Seir, that you cautioned us that we should not fight. Behold them, whom thou wouldest not let Israel fight, contend with, or invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them. Israel turned from them on their own. They will not fight them because of the caution, fight not. And then it says, and they destroyed them not. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, behold, I say, now they, Ammon, Moab, Seir, they reward us. day had not come to come to cast us out of thine possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. You told us not to touch their inheritance, to leave them in their inheritance. You said, for seer, I have given them the children of Esau. I gave them that land. You said we should not fight or dispossess them. For Moab, you have given them this land. You told us, you cautioned us not to fight them, not to dispossess them. And to the children of Ammon, you told us not to touch their possession. But these three that you want us, we should not fight, they have turned around to fight us and to dispossess us and to cast us out of our inheritance. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company, because we let them alone. We will not fight them. We allowed them to survive. We allowed them to succeed. We gave them chance so that they became mighty. A force that nobody could defeat, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Lord, you told us not to fight them, but they have come now and they have united together to fight us. What are we going to do? Look at verse 22. In verse 22, it says, and when they began to sing, they didn't know what to do, so all they could do was singing and to praise the Lord. Then the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. A spirit of confusion came upon them. And instead of now fighting Israel, which was their purpose, they turned against Seir. They said, who are you, by the way, children of Esau? And then it says, after that, to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Where is Moab today? I can't find them. They're not on the map. Where are the Ammonites today? I can't find them. They're not on the map. Where are the children of Esau, Seir, today? I can't find them. They're no more on the map. You know why? The Lord said, Israel, don't fight them. And they now, they took that liberty, that opportunity. They will not fight us. We will fight them, dispossess them. They destroyed themselves. Let's know where God has not appointed that we should fight. The wife is to help the husband, not to hurt, not to harm, not to hate, not to fight. The husband is to help the wife, not to harm the wife, hurt the wife, or hate the wife. Know what fight you must not fight. You'll not fight against your husband, because that's a forbidden fight against his progress, against his success, against his calling, against his ministry. That is a fight that God has not appointed. You will not fight against your wife, against her spirituality, against her usefulness, against her calling. That is a call, the Lord, a fight the Lord has not given you. You will not fight against your parents. Your parents are called of God, and they're doing the work of God. They put all their heart, all their soul, all their mind into the fight against Satan, against the world, against the flesh. You will not fight against them. If you do, it's a fight the Lord has not appointed. And you will not fight as members of the church. You'll not fight against the pilot of your plane that is taking you away from the origin, away from where you are, and we're going to the land of promise, we're going to heaven. And then you, as a passenger in the plane, you go to the cockpit and you're arguing and dragging something with the pilot. You're going to hurt yourself. We're not going to fight against the shepherd. We're not going to fight against the pastor. We're not going to fight against the person God has ordained will show us the way of salvation, show us the way of holiness, and show us the highway of holiness that leads to heaven. That is a fight the Lord has not ordained. And from district to district, we're not to fight against each other. That district pastor fighting against the group pastor, that's a fight the Lord has not ordained. A rev fighting against the moderator, that's a fight the Lord has not ordained. One section of the choir fighting against the other section of the choir, it's a fight the Lord has not ordained. The Lord told the children of Israel, leave those Moabites alone, leave their possession alone, leave those Ammonites alone, leave their possession alone, and leave those people of Seir, leave them alone. I have given them that possession. You will not fight against them. And those same people, they now gang up together to fight against Israel. They destroyed themselves. We will not destroy ourselves. We will not destroy the church of the living God. It showed us what to fight. It showed us who not to fight. Hosea chapter 4, we're looking at verse 4. In Hosea chapter 4, we're looking at verse 4. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Thy people are as they that strive against the priest. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness strove against Moses. Thank God for Moses. He had raised up Joshua. What if Moses had not raised up Joshua, and they strove against him, and the Lord took him away, and there was no Joshua, no Caleb that Moses had prepared? How will they get to the land? Thy people are as they that strive against the priest. Look at the result in verse 6. In verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They lack knowledge. The passengers fighting with the driver who is taking them to the desired destination. They lack knowledge. The passengers fighting against the pilot who is flying the plane to take us to the desired end. Those passengers fighting against the pilot, they lack knowledge. The people who are fighting against the priest, against the preacher, against the pastor, when he's emphasizing the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And he wants them to see the Lord. He's passionate that everyone will get to heaven. And then the people that fight against the preacher, they lack knowledge. In verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Those who fight, they hurt themselves. I pray we will not hurt ourselves. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 14. Galatians chapter 4, reading from verse 14. And my temptation here is Paul talking to the believers in the province of Galatia. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5 and verse 15. In verse 15, where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your eyes, your own eyes, and you would have given them to me. Paul the Apostle said that if it were possible, if you saw that my eyes were having challenged your problem, you would have thought, Paul needs a good, bright eyesight. Now we do. We are there, and we, you know, we sit now, we hear the word. And Paul the Apostle was losing his sight. And he said, if it were possible, if transplantation, like they transplant good kidneys to the man, to the woman, like they transplant other organs of the body to a person, because all that, you know, science and medicine has now increased, but there was no laser treatment or transplantation of heart. And then the thing they put in the heart now, that if the heart is getting weak and the heart will keep on running, all that was not there. That's why he said, if it were possible, you would have taken your eyeballs, donated everything to me, so that I'll have sharp eyesight and I will be preaching the gospel. He said, what is the blessedness you speak of? Look at verse 15, 16. In verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? The Galatians were missing the point of fighting. They didn't understand what to fight and who to fight. They were going the other direction. I pray God will give us understanding. Your pastor, your GS, your father in the Lord is not your target to fight with either physical weapon, psychological weapon, attitudinal weapon. No. Your pastor is there as your father and is leading you in the direction of heaven. And the caution is, fight not. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 18, and I'm reading from verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're reading from verse 18. Then said they, come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, no, the word from the prophet come. And let us smite him, let us strike him, let us destroy him with the tongue. They were not going to use any iron weapon, they were going to use the tongue. And let us not give heed to any of his words. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the word, to the voice of them that contend with me. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. These are the people that now came against the priest, against the shepherd, against the leader, Jeremiah. That was a fight they shouldn't be fighting. Let's come to point number three. Point number three is the courage. The courage for fruitful, good fight. Courage for fruitful, good fight. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 20. We're reading from verse 3. Here now is what they were called to. It says, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Your heart will not faint. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. Fear not. Not the courage. He tells us to have. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. We're reading from verse 25. Joshua 10, 25. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, but strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Your enemies, not your brethren. Your enemies, not the children of Seir, the children of Esau, Ammon, Moab. Your enemies against whom ye fight. And you will overcome in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're looking at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. It takes faith to get saved, fight to preserve that faith. It takes faith to be sanctified, fight to preserve the faith for sanctification. It takes faith to be filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost and with power, with anointing. Fight, contend for the faith that helps us to have that power of the Holy Ghost. It takes faith to keep the revival. Fight for the faith that helps us to preserve the revival. Fight the good fight of faith. It takes faith to endure, you know, for a church to stand on the Bible and the doctrines of the Bible for 10 years, for 20 years, for 50 years, for 60 years, if Jesus tarries. It takes backbone, it takes stamina, fight for the strengthening of the backbone of the church, so that we'll preserve the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. That's our calling, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 20, we're reading from verse 21. Acts 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserve that faith. Preserve that repentance. Preserve the word that brings conviction to sinners and conversion to those who are convicted. Consecration to those who are converted. Commitment to those who are consecrated. Continuation to those who are committed. Fight to preserve that faith that keeps people on the highway of holiness, repentance toward God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in chapter 26, reading there from verse 18. In chapter 26, reading from verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light, and from the power of Satan unto God. It takes faith to turn people away from Satan unto God, to break the power of darkness in their lives. Let's contend for that faith. Preserve that faith that makes us dynamic, that makes us fearless, so that people will be delivered from all the chains and shackles in their lives, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. You see that? Sanctified by faith. Let's contend, fight the good fight of faith that helps people to keep on standing. Well, we'll stand. You will stand. And this church will stand in Jesus' name. And we're looking at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. I live by the faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what we are contending for. Your faith will stand. You will endure to the end in Jesus' name. All the fruitless fights that anybody would have fought in the past, we bury them today in Jesus' name. You will not fight against your wife. Amen. You will not fight against your husband. Amen. I was talking yesterday. Was it yesterday? I was talking about a wife that was denying the husband from the time of, do you take this man as your lawful husband? You stay by him, you help him, you support him, him only. And you say, I do. Do you know, from that day of I do, she has not allowed the marriage to be consummated. I know that the person might not have been here yesterday, but what I say behind you, although you should have heard, if you were there at the workers' meeting in your district, you should be here today. That is a fight against your husband that God has not ordained. You need to repent. The wife should not fight against the husband. Give me a good amen. You should be happy that God picked you to be a wife to a beloved brother, a beloved child of God. And everything the Lord has said, you give to him. That's his right. That's his inheritance in that marriage. You give to him without denying him. And you don't say, I will give him, but not time yet. That's of the devil. That's not of God. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Go back home. Be obedient to God. Be obedient to your shepherd. If this is your church, the man of God sent to you by God said, don't deny your husband. Sisters, God bless you all. I hear your voice. I like to see your face. Where are you, sisters? Please, please, please stand up. You are going to be blessed by God. You're going out, you're coming in, you'll be blessed. Miracle children will come in your family. The work of your husband will prosper. God will provide more money. Say more money for your husband to take care of you. And if he's not taking care of you, tell your group pastor, tell the rep, tell the moderator to get to me. And once your problem gets to me, your problems are solved. Now, don't deny your husband. Say amen. And for those of you who are not married, don't raise up your hand. I see you there. Good marriage will come. The Lord will bless every family. Please sit down. Please. Husbands, brothers, the army of the Lord, please rise up. Amen. I'm like you, you are like me. I am happy, you'll be happy. I am fulfilled, you'll be fulfilled. You know, at my age, look at how, if I want to run, I run. If I want to walk, I walk. Amen. You know why? Somebody, your mommy is taking care of me. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm holy. I pass it on to you. You will know if somebody is fighting me, if I have internal battle and I'm trying to survive, how can I come here like this and stand straight and stand firm and walk and almost run? If you want to see me jump, I can jump. I pass the strength unto you. Love your wife. Don't deny your wife all the inheritance of your wife, the purpose by which the Lord has ordained that you will be the husband of that beloved sister. Do everything in your own power. When she's sad, make her happy. Amen. When she's hungry, you know, sometimes, that's the only thing I don't do. I would like to do it. Sometimes we'll finish eating and I'll say, mommy, can I do the packing? She said, no, no, you're a preacher. So she doesn't allow me. If she had allowed me, I'll help her to pick the pepper and the onion and we will do it together. Serve your wife. Love your wife. And the Lord bless every family in this church in Jesus' name. Everybody rise up. We're going to pray now. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. We will not fight each other. You will not fight members of the family. You will not fight a bad fight. But you will uphold the doctrine all the days of your life in Jesus' name. Raise up your voice to the Lord and pray unto the Lord. Pray, pray, pray that the Lord will give you understanding and the Lord will bless you, bless you, bless you. Bless you personally. Bless you in the family. Bring abundance, miracle into your life. Your wife's been sick. Give some encouraging words. Bad words can kill. Negative words can hurt. Good words, right words, proper words, encouraging words. Don't make your words like a sword, like a dagger. Take care of one another. Don't fight the brethren. Don't fight the children, the sons of Esau. Don't fight. Don't fight the children of Moab. Caution. Don't fight the children of Ammon. Caution. Don't fight Jeremiah the priest. Caution. Don't fight Paul the apostle. I bear you record that if it were possible, you'd have plucked out your own eyes, you'd have given them to me, Paul said. Where is the blessedness you spoke of? Don't fight the apostle. Don't fight your shepherd. Fight not. Sister, don't fight your husband. Reject that spirit that fights the home, that fights the husband. It's a spirit. Reject the spirit that fights the wife. It's a spirit. Say no to that spirit. Make your home a resting place for every member of the family. Blessing, Lord bless you. If you obey the Lord, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. That is the heritage of the children of God, of the servants of God, of the sons of God, of the daughters of God. And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Don't fight the family of God. Any suggestion coming to fight a brother, to fight a sister, is not coming from the Savior of that brother, the Savior of that sister. It's coming from Satan. If you fight, you're obeying Satan, you're denying Christ. Don't fight with a deliberate mistake. The man, the pastor, is a perfectionist, doesn't like mistake. So deliberately, you fight with a deliberate mistake. Didn't you hear the caution? Fight not. If you don't fight the family of God, any enemy that rises up against you will be defeated. But if Moab, Amnon, Seir, that Israel was not to fight, if they raise up a fight, those Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, they will only destroy themselves. Woe to him that we are not fighting against, but they fight against us. They will be destroyed, devastated, and they will not have a place. The promised land, heaven. Fight the good fight of faith earnestly. Contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Comprehend that faith. Consecrate for that faith. Commit yourself to that faith. Conserve, keep that faith. But contend against the compromisers. Contend against compromise. Don't allow any iota of compromise in you, on you, around you. Contend against corruption and the corruptors. Contend against counterfeits. Those who don't have genuine salvation, they're carrying counterfeit salvation about. I don't want to get the genuine thing you have. Contend against the counterfeits. Contend against the castaways. They're so self-indulgent. They have been cast away. Like Israel has rejected that which is good, cast away. They're like reprobate silver, cast away. And they come to you, you're still standing firm. They want your soul to be cast down, cast off, cast away. Contend against them. Your family, go love each other. Go help each other. Go feed each other. Go embrace each other. Why? Don't fight. Give him what you are holding back that belongs to him. Husband, don't fight the weaker vessel. In your tone of voice, don't fight her. Or the look on your face, don't fight her. Or the language in your tongue, don't fight her. Don't hold back the money, the finance, the care. Whatever is with you that belongs to her, for her to benefit from, don't withdraw your fellowship from her. Care, love, help, support, build up each other. Don't fight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed, fortunate, favored, prospered children of God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All your inheritance is given back to you. Amen. Whatever you have lost in the office, at home, in church, in the village, they try to take your land from you, receive back in Jesus' name. Heaven will smile at you. Raise up that hand, raise up that hand, blessed hand, anointed hand, What's your joy for? Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. These are your children. These are your people. Lord, I pray every force that had fought against them, against their life, against their success, against their progress, crush all that enemy force in Jesus' name. Your health, your happiness, your joy, your holiness, anything good you have lost, Lord, I pray, restore to them in Jesus' name. Fruit in your life. Fruit in your family. Miracle children. Lord, cancel barrenness from them in Jesus' name. Anyone, the beloved wife is sick, and the devil is trying to steal health, vitality away from the beloved wife. Lord, I pray, knock off the hand of the devil in Jesus' name. My sister, healing for you. Yes. Health for you. Yes. And every power of darkness in your family, the powers of darkness are trying to fight. And there you are. You prayed, you fasted, you waited on the Lord. I pray yours will be the victory in Jesus' name. Yes. Deliverance affirmed for you. Yes. Dominion affirmed for you. Yeah. Dearly beloved sister, your husband is sick. No tears, he will not die. Yeah. The health, the joy, the devil is trying to take away. Lord, knock off the hand of the devil from the husband in Jesus' name. Brother, get well quick. Get off from that bread of affliction and be made whole in Jesus' name. The power that works at the GCK, that power penetrates your life right now. Heal your body right now. Our children, our beloved sons and daughters, Lord, I pray, everything fighting against their spiritual life, fighting against their success in life, fighting against their joy and their happiness, oh Lord, take it away in Jesus' name. Son, daughter, no sorrow again, no sadness again, no defeat in your life again. And nothing will push you down. Did you hear? Success without limits. I pray you will have in Jesus' name. Lord, everyone, help us to obey the caution. Not to fight the wrong people. Not to fight the preacher, the pastor, the priest, the pilot, the driver. Not to fight the father, the mother. Not to fight the members of the church. But to fight worldliness. To fight devilishness. And to fight the flesh and the lust of the flesh. And we are more than conquerors. My brother, you are more than a conqueror. My sister, you are more than a conqueror. Lord, confirm victory in every life. Victory in every life. Victory in every family. Victory in every student. Victory in every professional. Go in the joy of the Lord and remain strong in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.